You have an embarrassing secret that you keep from pretty much everybody. If so, you've got plenty of company. A new British survey by OnePoll shows that the average adult actually keeps two of those pieces of information locked away. Among the most common secrets, mental health issues, embarrassing incidents, internet history, infidelity, bank and credit card statements, faking an illness to avoid a commitment, fears and phobias, and political opinions. About a fifth of those surveyed say they keep secrets to avoid relationship issues, and about one in five do so to avoid police scrutiny. Who are we not sharing our secrets with? One in five say their moms, 16% say best friends, another 16% say their partners. Now that's one survey, but our next guest has been studying our secrets for years. He says the hardest thing about secrets is not keeping them to ourselves, but the toll that the information takes on us. And that's what we're going to focus on today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever kept a deep, dark secret? You don't have to tell us what it is, but how did it feel carrying it around? Did you eventually share it with somebody? How did it feel to get it off your chest? Or did you regret it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Michael Slepian is the Sanford C. Bernstein and Company Associate Professor of Leadership and Ethics at Columbia Business School. He studies the psychology of secrecy. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to your own research, this British survey, non-scientific, I know, but looking at the results, so what struck you?
One thing right away is the number two is it's bigger than that. It's larger than that. That's quite the underestimate based off our research. We see on average people have about 13 secrets at any given moment. And so I think it partly depends on how you ask the question and how you help people report on these things.
One thing that seems like it must be a challenge for you is by its nature, this must be a tough topic to study and get people to talk about honestly, given that these are things they're keeping secret. How do you tackle that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is the reason why for decades we haven't known too much about secrecy and how our secrets hurt us for this very reason, they're hard to study. The way people used to think about it is that what's hard about having a secret is having to hide it in conversation, having to be careful about what you say, maybe even having to sort of dance around the truth when you're talking to someone. But that turns out to not be the predominant experience people have with their secrets. And so the way we've found this out is we simply started at the beginning. What if we knew nothing about secrets? And we asked people, what secrets are they keeping? And then we asked people, when that secret comes to mind, what's going on? And very rarely do people have to hide a secret from someone, but we think about our secrets all the time.
Yeah, that reminds me, the telltale heart, right? The person goes mad thinking about this secret that they have. That's really the hard work of a secret, the fact that we keep, I don't know, thinking about it.
Yeah, we have to think about it on our own and feel alone with it and without others' help and perspectives. The hard part about having a secret is that, having to live with it alone, not having to hide it.
What does that do for our psychological well-being if we're sitting on big secrets that we're not telling our significant other or other people close to us in our lives? How much does that hurt us?
So I'll tell you what you can do about it. The solution is pretty straightforward, in fact, is talk to someone. It doesn't have to be the person you're hiding the secret from, although there are times when that's the right choice as well. But just talk to someone, and what you get out of that conversation, we find, is often something very beneficial. People feel supported or heard, or they get some kind of new perspective or advice or guidance. It's hard to come to new perspectives on your own. That's what other people are for.
So that could be a therapist or a bartender or whatever. It doesn't necessarily matter who it is.
Exactly. As long as you feel comfortable talking with that person and you feel like you can trust them and that they'll keep your secret safe.
Talking to Michael Slepian. He studies the psychology of secrecy. He's at Columbia Business School. We're talking about secrets, why we keep them, why they nag at us, what kind of secrets we have. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions on the psychology of secrecy. Have you had a situation in your life where you kept a secret for a long time? Was it hard to do that? Not just on like not letting it slip, but on having it weigh on you all the time. Has someone ever shared a secret with you? Do you want to share that story with us? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. No, we're not asking you to share your big secret with us. I mean, I guess if you want to, but you don't have to. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Michael, in your research, I know you've looked at what kind of secrets we tend to keep. What dominates the top five or so secrets in our world?
So some of the common secrets we keep include lying to someone or violating someone's trust and sort of not admitting to that. One of the most common secrets people have that they don't talk about or don't tell anyone about is what we call extra relational thoughts, meaning you are in a relationship and thinking romantically about someone else. Money, addictions, ambitions are often kept secret as well. And then a host of things around work, sort of discontent with work or actually discontent more broadly, discontent with your romantic life or discontent with your social life are common ones as well.
It can kind of make sense to keep those secrets because we could see examples of people maybe being open about them. I'm thinking back to all the way back to Jimmy Carter admitting in an interview that he had felt lust in his heart, contrary to his biblical training, and got, I think, mocked a lot for that admission. I don't know. Is there a benefit to keeping a secret like that?
So I think so. And I really love that quote too. And yes, just because secrets hurt us doesn't mean we're wrong to keep them. There are things where if you're protecting someone's feelings and it's not causing any damage for someone to not know something, it's not necessarily harmful for a relationship. This doesn't mean it doesn't harm you. It's likely to if it's something that's on your mind and that you feel alone with.
Now, you've also looked at who in our lives, in our relationships, we tend to keep secrets from. Who are some of the most likely people we're going to have something? Oh, I guess given that a lot of them are relationship related, I guess I've got a guess as to a common one. But what have you found?
Yeah, it's exactly who you're thinking. Your friends, romantic partners, family, coworkers. We keep secrets across all these relationships, although we don't reveal secrets in the same way as, and there's certain qualities in a person that makes it more likely we reveal a secret to them.
Now, a worry I think a lot of people would have is, okay, if there's a secret that I don't want person A to find out, and maybe there's a benefit to me talking to person B, but the more people who know a secret, the less secret it gets. I don't know. Is that a powerful disincentive to doing that thing that would be therapeutic, talking about it, but runs a risk?
Yeah. So one thing to consider besides, you know, what is the impact of revealing the secret on me? Is what is the impact of sharing a secret with another person? And we find that when you confide a secret in someone, they understand that as an act of intimacy, that you're opening up to them and trusting them and making yourself vulnerable to them. So that's the good part. But also people can feel burdened by other people's secrets. And to the extent your social networks overlap, to the extent now you're going to have to hide a secret on someone's behalf, you're creating a burden for them.
I want to get back to how you research this because I'm curious about what the Michael Slepian lab is like. What if when people meet you for research or you go out into the field and research, what kind of process do you do to figure out how people feel when they have secrets and all that?
We give people a list of 38 common secrets that people commonly keep. We see when we give people this list of 38 categories of secrets, the average person at any given moment has 13 of those 38 categories of secrets. That's where that number 13 comes from. When we ask people just open-ended, what's the secret you're currently keeping? There's a 92% chance it fits one of that list. And we find that 97% of people have at least one of those secrets right now. So, you know, it's a little under 40, but it's fairly comprehensive as far as what are the secrets people commonly keep.
And then how do we figure out, I guess, the stress load that comes with the secret? How do you measure that?
So one way I like to think about it is sort of think about your secret. If your secret's sort of traveling, a day in the life of your secret, you know, where is it? What's happening when it's on your mind? And so what we'll do is ask people in the past week, did you find yourself thinking a lot about this secret? Or how many times to your best estimate did you find yourself thinking about this secret? And we'll also ask, you know, how many times did you find yourself having to hide that secret in conversation? We see from just those two questions alone, people far more frequently are thinking about their secrets outside of concealment context than they actually have to hide their secrets in conversation. And we also ask people, how much is this secret hurting you? How much is this sort of decreasing your satisfaction with life or your happiness? And we find that it is the more you have a secret on your mind, the more frequently you're mind wandering to the secret or ruminating on a secret, the more harmful the secret is, not the frequency of concealment.
We're talking about the consequences and effects of keeping secrets. Michael Slepian stays with us, Associate Professor of Leadership and Ethics at Columbia Business School, where he studies the psychology of secrecy. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. You don't have to tell us what your secret is. But what is it like if you've had a situation in your life where you felt like you had to keep something from somebody important to you? Did you kind of carry a stress with that with you, either of the effort of keeping the secret or just having it nag at you, maybe at your conscience along the way? Was there ever a situation where you got a secret off your chest to someone? How did that feel? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about why we keep secrets and the consequences of keeping them. A new British survey says adults keep two embarrassing secrets from everyone they know. Our guest says two, more like 13, probably, according to his research. And he says the problem of having a secret is not so much keeping it hidden, but that you have to think about it and live with it. Michael Slepian is an associate professor of leadership and ethics at Columbia Business School, where he studies the psychology of secrecy. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. You could share, if you'd like, how keeping secrets, your own or someone else's, how it's affected your mood, your well-being, or join in with a question about secrecy and how it affects us. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Maria is with us in, I'm sorry, Marta is with us in Milwaukee. Marta, hi.
Hi. I was telling your co-host that when I would visit my grandmother and grandfather in Flint, Michigan, they told us never to climb the tree in the park. And, of course, my brother and I climbed the tree in the park. Well, one time I did fall out of the tree, and I broke my arm.
Uh-oh.
And my brother did everything for me. He tied my shoes. He cut my meat. He and I covered this thing beautifully. And it wasn't I actually had to have my arm set in a cast, but we told them that I fell down the stairs at the park and didn't tell them about the tree.
Wow.
Well, then about 12 years later, we fessed up to my mother that I did climb the tree and I did fall out of the tree.
Did that nag at you, Marta, when you were a kid?
And
were you worried and stressed about that?
That we kept for so long.
Wow. Marta, thank you so much for sharing that story. Wow, 12 years for a pair of kids to keep that secret. That's pretty impressive. Michael, have you looked at kids and secrets? That's I don't know if everybody's as talented at that as Marta and her brother.
Studying kids is a whole different situation.
Sure.
But I have, you know, there's this question of time and how secrets affect us over time. And some secrets get easier over time. They become less relevant to your life and the harm sort of fades with it. But things can bring the secret back into focus, or a secret can get harder with time or if it's causing some kind of damage.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story, Marta, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Rebecca now in Appleton. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Rebecca?
So interestingly, my husband and I share a secret. I've chosen to share this secret with most of my friends and family, but he has decided to keep it to himself, to his friends and family. So it can be confusing sometimes remembering who knows the secret and who doesn't. And for me, it can be stressful because I've chosen to not keep it and to be open about this particular aspect. And he is not. So that does cause conflict for us.
Interesting, Rebecca. Thanks a lot. So in addition to the usual issues about information management, maybe the stress of the secret, it's a shared secret, Michael, and they're having to negotiate who gets to know it and who doesn't.
Yeah, normally when we think of a shared secret, we think of how it's nice to sort of be able to talk about it with the other person. But here, it's interesting. It's almost like a discrepancy over who owns the information or who gets to decide what happens with it. I've certainly been in the situation where I'm talking about something to someone and the other person who's relevant would say, like, wait, I thought we weren't telling people this. I didn't realize you were going to talk about this with other people. And it's like, oh, I didn't realize it had to be secret. So there's certainly these discrepancies that can arise when we share a secret, but that doesn't make as much sense for the personal context, right? It only comes into play when there's two people.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Michael Slepian. He studies the psychology of secrecy at Columbia Business School. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us now in Madison. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I called it about the adage that three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. And I noticed that a lot of times there are secrets that are kept within our government, and they're kept until all the people who were involved in that incident have died, and then they become unclassified. And it relates to me because I'm one of the secret keepers for my company, and I know lots of things about people because I've had to do investigations and, you know, things that have come to the surface because of different behaviors. And there's the stress of having to see people in a more social context when I know something about them and know that there's an investigation going on, but I, of course, I'm keeping the secret, to be pretty difficult. And there isn't really a good way to vent that except to a counselor.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, Jim, how do you deal with that stress? Because you can't just blab about it with a bartender. So this is, I assume, a legally confidential information you're handling here.
Right. So, and sometimes it's, you know, talking to other people in the company that actually know about the situation and helping me deal with it. But sometimes the things are actually legal and I can't actually say things to them either. And so having a therapist has helped quite a bit, especially when I've had to help put people that I consider my friends in jail.
Wow. Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Michael, Jim dealing with maybe a different level of secret than most of us might have to face on a daily basis, but he says therapy helps him deal with that stress.
I think that story really well illustrates that even when it comes to information that's not about us or about our past or about who we are, but we have to keep it a secret for some reason, how even that is frustrating. And I think it just really reveals how much sharing and communicating with others is just part of what it means to be human. And it's like, we have a thought, we want to share it. And it's frustrating when something's preventing us.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story. We'll go next to Park in La Crosse. Park, hi. Oh, no, your phone line. Park, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, what did you want to tell us about, Park?
Well, I am a pastor, actually. So part of my line of work is hearing people dealing with secrets and their impact on their life. And an observation I've come to over the years is that secrets basically have the power we give to them. So in other words, if it's something that we're really worried about, it tends to eat on us more than otherwise. And usually I counsel people that it's, a lot of times it's better just to be honest and get out there and deal with the fallout than to continually worry, well, what will people think? Or who do I have to keep this from?
And Park, do people usually take that advice, or are we so caught up in the power of that secret that we've given it that it's hard to do that?
That's a big step for people to try to let that go, but generally they're better off if they can.
Park, thanks a lot. And Michael, that matches up with some of what you said, the benefits of sharing that secret sometimes.
Yeah, it's not just in our research, it's not just about like saying it out loud and getting it off our chest. At least we believe that the next most important step is that someone's there responding to what you've just said, because it's what they say that turns out to be helpful. You know, they say they're there for you, or I'm going to help you through this, or even just I hear you. And so, you know, there are other ways to express a secret, for example, anonymously on the internet. But if you don't get anything back from that, it's not going to be as helpful. And that's why a conversation can be so helpful.
Thanks a lot for that call, Park. We heard from Judy in Madison, who wonders if there's a difference between keeping a secret and just being a private person who doesn't share a lot. So maybe I'm not deliberately keeping from you. I just think it's maybe none of your business and maybe you don't care anyway.
Yeah, this is an absolutely important part. Those are two different things. When we think of privacy, it's sort of how much social distance we put in between ourselves and others. And, you know, a private person wouldn't let just anyone into that sort of sphere of more intimate topics. But that's very different from having a very specific experience that you don't want someone or some specific person to know.
Michael, as we wrap up, any final words of encouragement to someone coping with keeping a tough secret right now?
Some of the ways in which a secret can harm are people feel alone with the secret or feel ashamed for having the secret or just feel unsure of what to do. And it turns out, again, just finding someone who can hear you out can change that, can change your thinking. It's really hard to step outside of your usual ways of thinking, but it's really easy for someone else to help you do that. And so whoever it is, it can be a really powerful conversation in terms of helping you cope.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Michael Slepian is an associate professor of leadership and ethics at Columbia Business School. He studies the psychology of secrecy. We talked about why we keep secrets, how those secrets affect us, and how to tell what to do with secrets that are eating at us.